Our Collision 2018 coverage is proudly powered by Amazon Prime. Find out all the ways you can benefit from a Prime subscription and get a 30-day free trial by going to collision.live/prime and by audiobooks.com. Get a free 30-day trial and a book to keep by going to collision.live/audiobooks using promo code TRY70. We have our next guests here. Hello.
Hello.
How are you?
How you doing?
Doing well.
Great. Go ahead and introduce yourselves for me.
All right. My name is Isaac Dallas. I'm from Illinois.
My name is Christopher Richards. I'm also from Illinois, specifically Chicago.
All right. And tell me about your company.
Yeah. So we are Prisma, and we're aiming to fill the gap in the back end of e-commerce.
Okay.
And so what I mean by that is you go on e-commerce, you want to buy a jacket. Mm-hmm. You need pictures. You need data.
Sure.
So the textual data, how much does it cost? And then 360s are coming around, video.
Yep.
If you're looking also at like augmented reality, so a 3D file.
Sure.
What we do is our first intro into this space is XSpace. So a 2D photo might cost you $60. A 360 costs you $300, $600. Video, $1,000. An AR model anywhere between $800 to $2,000. What we do is we automate that process and we drop it by about 70% to 80%.
Wow.
And then we also work on the time with that. So we drop the time, the turnaround to get that through. And our focus is on large customers who have 10,000 plus products. And they need images for those. And going to a normal firm or having something in-house is just cost prohibitive.
Sure.
And so they come to us and we're like, okay, we can do this for you.
Okay. So we're looking at like the big online retailers that just, because a small retailer that's got 20 products, they might be able to deal with that on a far smaller scale. This is just for the not have the time, the resources to really be able to get through it without the absolute knowledge on how to do it. And that's where you guys come in. You guys are the knowledge
and the
ability to do it.
So we started off with the idea that we want to make sure that e-commerce isn't dominated by just a top two, top three companies.
Sure.
So this is for the mid-level companies.
Okay.
So there's a lot of $4 billion companies out there that have great retail businesses but are struggling to get online.
Right.
So that's solutions for them. And then we're also wanting to expand this to smaller retailers who, the mom and pop shops. Give them the quality that they probably wouldn't be able to afford otherwise.
Sure.
But to enter the space, we're going after larger customers to help set up our model.
Fair enough.
And then we can help others.
Test out the concept, make sure it's...
Right.
Okay. Fair enough. So how have you managed to get the cost so different?
Yeah, so what we've been able to do is identify a lot of the manual processes that still go into retail right now.
Okay.
So to give you an example, we have a client that we're working with, and they have about 300,000 physical SKUs, and only about maybe 60,000 of them are actually online. And how they manage that is through all Excel. Right?
What?
And yeah, it's all Excel.
Yeah.
And they have different departments all wanting to get the same information. And there's usually a lot of foot being stepped on when you're talking about like collaboration with internal teams.
Sure.
So we've identified, the management portion of that to be very complex, especially when you start talking about, okay, I got to send this product information to all my vendors, my manufacturers, and all the other third-party marketers, retailers.
Sure.
With the hardware, with our technology right now, we've been able to bring the cost of 3D scanning down. 360 viewing is also coming down as well, and getting 2D images is starting to also bring that price as well.
Okay.
And to add on to that, so our focus is, so we're still working on 3D models, making those great.
Mm.
But what we can do very well right now is the 2D, the 360, and the video.
Okay.
That's what the marketplace is ready for right now. That's what they're asking for.
I was going to say, the standard things that you see on a website today.
Right.
Yes.
Well, the standard right now is 2D.
Yeah.
But everyone's like, I want 360. I want to beat out my competitor.
Yeah, sure.
So all of our early orders, so we actually only started on Thursday last week.
Okay.
We've already got four clients that are wanting to do this. We can't disclose numbers, but
sure.
Most of them have been asking, we want 360s.
Yeah.
And when can you get the 3D models working? But that's down the road.
Okay. So if I had a catalog of products.
Right.
What kind of turnaround, like what's the process? if I'm Sears, right, and I've got a whole bunch of products and somehow I've never managed to figure out how the internet works, and the catalog company never figured out the internet catalog. Anyway, and I now want to bring that to reality. What is the process for that?
Chris? So with our company, let's say if it is a large retailer, what we'll end up doing is we'll actually bring our machines down to usually their distribution center where all the products are usually hosted. So there we have our internal team that will pretty much take all the products, put it on like a turntable. It's kind of like an oven. You place it down in there, and our machine handles automatic lighting, already calculates the angle, and then there's algorithms to determine, you know, what are the best lighting settings, how to remove glare in certain instances when we're talking about jewelry and reflection and stuff. So they'll put the product down in the center, go around, click, 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 and what we'll do is then upload all of that assets to our global platform, and then they can manage all of that information right there. So that's how we bridge the gap between physical and the digital realm.
Did you just tell me that you guys built a robot photographer?
Yes. Essentially,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Just wanted to clarify that that's what we were talking about.
So essentially, yeah, it's our prototype, and we now are we've contracted out to where vendors are building the robot for us. But the prototype was 14 feet tall, 22,000 lights.
Okay, 14 feet tall is pretty tall.
Yeah, we could
just
handle.
Trying to get a scale here.
We could handle about 4 feet by 4 feet with that.
Okay.
So we could do like chairs and whatnot. So the next model is going to be about the same size. And then we also have another one in the works that could handle larger stuff. So you could put like a small mower on it if you really wanted to.
Okay.
Yeah. Or a couch or a fridge or whatever.
Interesting.
Yeah. To add on to that, each of our scanners over its lifetime will produce probably about 500,000 scans before, you know, maybe some major maintenance or anything like that. So,
wow.
As far as like lifetime value, these are capital investments these companies want to have and should help them out. And we don't want to get rid of the photographers at all. This isn't we want humans to be a part of this process because ultimately they're going to decide, you know, what actually really looks good. But we're taking all the manual intensive process out of product shots, because everyone I talk to that does Photoshop or any type of image editing or photography, they say, I don't like doing product photography. It's boring, repetitive, and it's just too much work. So we're
and you heard boring and repetitive and went, well, that's what we automate.
Those
are the tasks you're supposed to automate.
Exactly. Absolutely. No, the things that are done over and over and over again, and there's a limited number of things you can do.
Right.
You can automate that.
Exactly.
And the same thing with like
rote tasks.
Exactly.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just like, so we take it a step further. So we even, for post-processing, so any image that comes through, we then have an AI that we've been training to do the color correction, remove the background, and then even place, like if someone says, I want this information, we're working to get it to where it will put the hotspots in the video for you.
Okay.
So all the really boring things that a marketing team would not want to do.
Mm-hmm.
We're trying to automate that so that way they can go around and be like, okay, so now we've got this Nike shoe. Let's put it on the beach.
Things.
Right.
Right.
Let them go do marketing things.
Right. Because, exactly. If you look at the e-commerce sort of like trifecta of all the different players you have your manufacturer, the retailer, and then, all the third-party marketing firms, all of them have their own individual functions, and they just want to do that. Like, retailers just want to sell. Mm-hmm. Manufacturers just want to build.
Right. And there's so much more that goes into having, like, all the chrome around it, right?
Yeah.
You want to do your thing. I'm good at this. I'm not good at this.
Right. And because all of these processes are so manual, there's been a lot of pressure on all the different players, more specifically like manufacturers. Since retailers are the ones usually who have the customers, they're the ones saying, hey, our customers need these assets. Can you guys provide them? And they're like, we don't have the bandwidth to support that.
Right.
So we're providing that software as a service to be able to provide that capture.
Very cool. So this hardware, I'm a bit of a hardware guy. I'm very fascinated by this idea. Mm. The hardware, is it, do you own it? Do they own it? Is there both possibilities? How does that work?
Okay, so hardware is an intro for us. So we consider ourselves a SaaS platform.
Sure.
And we connect different companies together to make sure that we can be pretty much the kings of data and we can provide what needs to be provided. So the robot for us is we're licensing it out.
Okay.
So like we can, the first step is we do it in-house. So unless you are, you know, one of the top five retailers and you're doing an ungodly number of scans, it's going to be more affordable to just have us handle it because we have the facility set up. And also the way it works is the vendor sends us the information and they mail us the package.
Okay.
So the retailer doesn't even have to get their hands dirty. They just get the information and they can just process it.
Got it.
They can be completely removed from the process. They just tell their vendor, say, hey, we're going to use these people. Go through our portal.
Got it.
Right.
So the manufacturer, the distributor, wherever it comes from, send one to you guys while they're dealing with sending thousands maybe to the retailer.
Right.
You guys get one. You run it through your thing. It's not – they don't have to have one in their warehouse where they throw one in and do it. And
right.
So they still don't have to have somebody who's doing a task that may or may not be up their alley.
Correct.
Got
That's
it.
Right.
That's – I'm glad to hear that. That was what I was somehow I got it in my head that maybe somebody had one of these in their possession. I was like, that's
yeah, we've
I mean,
had
there's
plenty.
A possibility that that might be the best solution for a particular company, but it seemed unlikely that it would be the norm.
Yeah, so the way we built the hardware, it's very scalable. Okay. So we could even possibly make smaller versions of it. And if you have your own small photo shoot booth, then, you know, you could probably take it and run it on its own. But obviously, that's kind of sort of a different business model than what we're shooting for. But overall, we can do from small scale to large scale. So we're even looking at trying to scan cars at this point. Very, very intensive.
I was thinking about
when
you said that it was getting bigger and more capacity. My brain immediately went, cars?
Right.
I don't know why. Possibly because it would be fun to watch.
Mm-hmm. And another thing, too, is even, like, with the cars, a lot of the, like, 3D models you see online with the cars, all of those are handmade, and usually it would cost you upwards of $2,500 to whatever ungodly amount of money.
Right, because you're getting down to those little nit and grit details, and you're paying literally a programmer to make that.
Yeah.
So, you know, if it takes them 2 days, you have to pay them 2 days' worth of, you know, $60 an hour.
Right. Yeah, you don't want to do that. Not when there's the possibility to automate that stuff away.
Right. And so the ultimate vision is that we're starting off with the robots and we're having other firms build it, but we end up want this to be open to other firms who do scanners as well.
Okay.
And build robotics and other solutions, and that we're more of a center place that they can come to and access these larger customers and provide those solutions.
Got it. So another scanning system might be able to push data to you guys, and you're still the portal that connects the retailer with the distributor / manufacturer and all of that.
Yep.
Got it.
And all the different softwares that come with that.
Got it.
Right. So not only do we make money on the capture part of it, but we have the SaaS platform part of it. Right. So what we've done with the platform is try to make it developer first and developer friendly.
Okay.
So for a lot of these companies that are creating custom AR applications, they don't have their own storefront frameworks. We wanted to be able to allow them to give them the functionality, that flexibility of just building whatever you want with the data.
Got it.
And then with that too, we're able to connect with different stores. So if you have a Magento, Shopify, or WooCommerce store, you can easily connect your store with just a click of a button. So that we wanted to streamline that process of connecting your store, getting the assets and getting it all together and showing it so that your brand is unified across all platforms. So if you're doing mobile, you're doing websites, all the other different avenues that you want to reach out for customers.
Got it.
That's how we do it.
How did you guys decide that this was the problem that you wanted to tackle?
Okay.
And how did a 14-foot robot come out of it?
Well, that came second. But we originally, so Chris and I, we met, it's almost now 3 years ago. We were working on a project for Harvard. We were helping with AR giving them advice on a project they were working on. And that got done. We were like, wow, we really like AR. And I think there's a huge play in retail. And so we started doing research into it. And we started talking to different retailers and being like, okay, so if we could take a couch and we could put it down there over there, you know, would you do that? And they're like, yeah, that'd be great. Well, after a couple of interviews, one of them that we were talking to, they weren't having a real great day and ended up going on a rant about all the things wrong with e-commerce. And one of the big pain points
that
was...
That happens.
Right. People, we're human. We have bad days.
Absolutely.
But I'm glad that happened because it introduced a question where it was like, look, the software is not a problem. Putting something down is going to be solved. What we're worried about is the management, everything in the background. How do you generate that information? We're like, we're having trouble with 2D pictures. How are we supposed to get past 360 video and then to AR in the next 4 years? How does that happen? Once they posed that question, we started asking that question and we ended up going all the way up to a couple Fortune 500 companies that do this. And they are saying, we don't know.
Oh.
And that's when we're like, okay, we really have something here. We built the robot. The first one was called Betsy. It was wood. It was wooden art.
Okay.
And then we came up with the second one. And the robot was a proof of concept saying, no, you can't automate this. You can't put this into a platform.
Sure.
This isn't impossible. And there is a way to do it cost effectively. So.
Which is an important part of it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Ideas are great. They're even better if they work.
Right. So you're wearing a red tag. So you're an alpha. We're
noobs.
Early-ish in the process. Where are we? Obviously, you've got four clients. You said that earlier. And Thursday.
Yes.
Yeah.
So are we still in like beta testing kind of phase, or are we?
Let me take care of that.
Where is the product?
All right. Yeah. So we've had an incredible amount of traction just in the past 4 months alone. So right now we're scheduled for a beta launch here sometime towards the end of May.
Okay.
So that's the first thing going. So that's already underway.
We've pretty
built,
quick.
Yeah, we've built the MVP robot already, so we can actually start doing scans now. And we're doing a test run with a client as we speak.
Okay.
With that, we've also have a patent pending process. So that doesn't just cover the robot itself, but also the transition to the platform how all that interacts with each other. So we have that patent, and then we just finished raising our angel round. It was about $120,000.
Okay.
So we're still using the funds for that to finish up development here, and then we're going to be going into our seed round funding here in the next 2 months.
Okay.
I'm looking to raise about $5 million.
Okay.
So we're wanting to scale and scale this fast because we realize that people are wanting to get tens of thousands of products on in one time, and like, we're going to need money to really blow through
be
this.
Able to
take that step.
Take that step up.
Right. So we know we can make the step. The numbers work out. The testing has been going great.
Mm-hmm.
So it's something we know we can copy and paste. It's just a matter of, okay, now that we know it copies and pastes, we know that there is a large demand.
Mm-hmm.
Now we need the finances to meet the demand.
Right.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Understood. And what was your goal here at Collision?
Well, so we came into Collision hoping to find business contacts and potential VCs that'd be interested.
Sure.
We went beyond what we thought we would get from contact-wise.
Okay.
Three clients, we consider that pretty good, especially with the numbers they were throwing on the board. And then we did meet up with a couple of VCs. But right now it's focused on, okay, we have the finances to help these customers, so let's do that. And then in the background, we'll start building our connections continually with venture capital firms.
Very cool.
Yep.
Well, if our viewers want more information about your product and to follow your journey, how can they do that?
Here's my name.
Well, yeah, this is his name. Not enough. But go to xspaceapp.com. That's xspaceapp.com. And that's where you'll reach us, and you'll be able to contact us and get some scans. And if you want, we're working on getting the xspace.com.
Okay.
You know how domains are.
Yes. There were a couple of companies that put the wrong domain into the Collision app, like slightly wrong from their actual domain. I thought about registering them myself, but I figured that might be mean.
Yeah.
Anyway, thanks so much for taking the time to come talk to me today.
Well, thank you for having us.
Absolutely. And I hope the rest of your collision, which isn't much longer now, will continue to be a success for you.
Thank you. We appreciate
it. Absolutely.
Thank you so much.
Have a good one. All right. And this one's a little weird, so you guys will stay there for just a second. That's it for us for right now? No? Oh, okay. Is somebody going to come join me? Or are we going to flip around? Okay, that's it for a second. We're going to go purple and come back in just a moment. Ciao.